It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Thankfully, Dino Hanson is still alive as we spoke with the Rougarou, the super lightweight champion of the WBC. Regis Prograis was in studio. Dino decided to attempt a challenge as he came into the studio wearing Everlast boxing gloves and a robe, and he was ready to go. The champ just said, here, check out my belt. The pictures on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA and at GCAT _17 at Dino Hoops 11 as well.
He's 19-0 and I'm 0-6.
21-0.
21, I'm sorry.
Yeah. 18 knockouts.
21-0.
Yeah.
Well, we both have zeros with our records.
Zero wins and zero losses. There it is. Let's see. We've talked a little baseball. We'll get into here as well on the college diamond as it's just one day. It's really travel days for some schools as well because of Easter holidays. The weekend series start tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so they will be off on Sunday. We'll get into some Pels Portland later as well. Saints signed a player and a couple of NFL moves to get into, but Pepito, why don't you welcome us to the midway point of your work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more about what that camera Wednesday hump day is. What it is.
There it is. Shock to the digital underground, letting you know you've made it to the midway point of your work week, or halftime, as I like to call it. It is Wednesday, hump day. Weekend around the corner, a little Easter. Some folks might be off on Good Friday there. Crawfish boils, right? Really start on Friday. It's kind of a real big tradition around the neighborhoods I see. Words of wisdom. Looking forward to this weekend. Some bad news turning into some good news. We lost our grandmother on my mom's side back on Sunday, so services on Monday, Pepito. That means, though, my sister, I don't really get to see very often, is coming in town this weekend with the boys and stuff.
Jackie.
So, yeah, looking. And it's the first request she already made. Crawfish boil? I'm like, yes, I will put together a crawfish boil on Sunday, so.
That'd be great for Carver. He did his first crawfish boil.
He attacked one last year. I mean, he didn't, like, eat it, but, mm-hmm. You know, he, there's a great picture I have of, you know, one of them, the claw open, and he's reaching out for it. And
yeah, I think he attacked a handful of crayfish.
He tried, yeah. He enjoyed watching them scurry for their dear lives. I didn't have the heart to tell him they were about to, you know. Like the president does at Thanksgiving at turkey, you know, at Thanksgiving at turkey time, I let him pardon one, and then we brought him to the canal on West Metairie and let him go, who probably got eaten about a minute later with some bird or something. But
the Carver played his role and did what he was supposed to do.
That's right. It's
the After he leaves his hand, he's got nothing to do with it.
Once he gets put into the canal on West Metairie, there's not much I can do for him.
Now, how Carver reacts to crawfish this time around.
That'll be interesting.
Because he's mobile now, so.
Slightly mobile. That's what Pito has witnessed, how he likes to attack me wrestling style. Got a couple of storylines we want to get into. If you're just joining us, 800-998-1003, a fun first hour. Seth Thibodeau, we literally were interviewing him while I was standing in line. I didn't ask him what boarding group. It was the A, B, or C. But the team was boarding a Southwest flight. You could hear Dino, or, you know, interview starts, normal background sound. By the second question, you heard boom, boom. You know, the sound the computer makes when they're scanning the ticket when you're about to go in. And I'm like, I'm trying to hurry it up because, I mean, they're boarding the plane as the Colonels are heading to take Arizona this weekend. But the big win yesterday, 7-4 over Mississippi State. In 10 games in a 54-year span, they had never beaten Mississippi State, Dino. So a nice win by the Colonels. So we talked to Seth Thibodeau if you want to hear that. Also, in hour number one, we spoke, as we just said, with Regis Prograis, known as the Rougarou, R. Prograis, and you have to spell it as a New Orleanian.
That's right. P-R-O-G-R-A-I-S.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Prograis.
He's over there at your school right now.
Yes, he is.
Chatting with the kids.
Getting ready to talk to the kids over at St. Aug, which I think is a fantastic thing when you're in a position like he is, being able to go back to work with the kids and to talk to the kids to help them realize that they aren't the only ones that may have gone through something. And he went through some of the same challenges
growing
up as well.
He started in football, McDonough 35, mm-hmm. and he was a defensive back, a corner. And his coach, you know, he just might have got a little shovey out there as well on the football field. And
shovey.
Coach says, you ought to try boxing.
Because we can't have you punching guys on the football field.
You ought to try boxing. And he did. And because of Katrina, the best training house, it was in Houston, a lot of that area, you know, you know, after Katrina was not really inhabitable for a while. And he stayed out there and trained there. But, dude, I love it. We talked a little bit about some of the ink that he has. He has a picture of the Superdome 504 on there as well. It's just he's a New Orleanian. And the cool thing about it is 50-plus years it's been since a local has held a major title in boxing. 50-plus years. So it's a big deal that he's doing that. The boxing community is a big deal, but especially in the New Orleans boxing community. I mean, he's doing something that – it's been 50-plus years since it's happened, and I love his goal. His goal is to have a title championship fight in the Dome. That's what he wants.
And I also love the fact that, you know, the belt that he had, and we were talking about the belt, how it has
this little history to it,
history
huh?
on the belt as well.
When you have Muhammad Ali on it, that's all you need to know.
Bruh, the greatest of all time. Like, he is how the GOAT came to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he is still committed to New Orleans, he wants to have it done in New Orleans, also speaks to the character of individual that Regis is also, man.
Nah, so that was fun. And again, if you miss any of our interviews or any part of the show, Pepito, what kind of voodoo black magic do you need to use to do that?
All that voodoo black magic internet stuff, very easy. iTunes, Google Play, we got SoundCloud, Twitter, all the goods, all the podcasts are
easy
there.
Enough.
Can't miss it.
At ESPN Radio, 0800-998-1003. We touched on the Pels in Portland. Tough loss last night. If you were there, I'd love to hear from you. What were your thoughts in that game? I thought AD playing on that sprained ankle was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. To me, it kind of stood out as a special moment when he is hurt. He's smacking the floor. And, I mean, my jaw just like, no, come on, right? I mean, you can't.
Like, that's the last thing we
not
need.
Not with
now.
Eight, because you know from playing hoops, dude. A sprained ankle can go to a broken ankle, can go to a fibula. I mean, it can be to the Achilles. I mean, when you see a player immediately reach for the lower part of his ankle and the left hand is smacking the floor, you're going, oh, no. You know, and then I'm paying attention closely. What part of the foot is he holding? Is it the top part? Is it the side? You know, because when you see the hand go to like a cupping motion, and it's to the back of the foot, that's Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
If it's over to the top and to the right, that's a twist. You sprained it or mm-hmm. something. You know, and just if it's two hands to it, if it's high, you'll feel. If it's a tip-fib fracture or something of that nature, it'll be a little. I mean, just you can sort of see where they hold it
mm-hmm.
and where they're going to it at pain already. So,
oh, yeah. I know firsthand.
What exactly did you do when the Achilles went?
I turned around to see who it was that kicked me in the back of the heel, and why would they kick me?
It felt like that, huh?
It literally felt like that. But I knew immediately it wasn't a sprained ankle either, because it was a different reaction.
It's on the back part, too.
Yeah. Right. And I could also tell it was something different, because everybody else's reaction in the gym, they heard it pop.
Ooh. So you can hear it pop.
You can hear it. It sounds like a gunshot.
Oh.
Yeah, it literally sounds like a gunshot when you rupture your Achilles. And, did you see me jump just now?
there goes your Achilles.
Dang on, Pepito. So I literally looked around, and there was nobody behind me. All I was doing was getting ready to, mind you, I can't even use the word explode anymore, because I'm not exploding like I did when I was in high school and college. Mm-hmm. But I was simply getting ready to take off and go to the right, and I planted my foot, and it wasn't a matter of, well, did you stretch good enough? Of course, I stretched. Matter of fact, because I knew I was playing that day, I started stretching from the moment I woke up out of the bed that morning. You know, I mean, I immediately started stretching. So I was definitely warm. I got there 2 hours before the game, mm-hmm. everything else I needed to do. I had been shooting around for an hour, it's just one of those situations that it just pops. I mean, think about it. Same thing happened with Boogie. It happened towards the end of the game. It's something that just – and surprisingly enough, you would think it would happen more regularly than it actually does, just like we talk about the sprained ankles and things of that nature. But it doesn't. And as soon as it happened, once I stood up or tried to stand up, I immediately said, my Achilles is done. And everybody was like, well, are you sure?
You knew exactly what it was.
I knew because I had never felt it before.
Right.
I've had tons of sprained ankles. I've broken my foot, but I've never this literally. You want to talk about feeling like your leg is just dead? You know how like when you sometimes use the bathroom and you sit there for a long period of time and your feet and your legs just go numb?
Are you familiar with that feeling, that sensation?
Of your legs going numb?
Yeah,
for sure. In the bathroom, yeah.
Yeah, when you're having a nice long conference.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I call it. I call it a conference.
Conference call.
I call it reading novels.
Really?
And, bro, you get up and you're like that dead leg. You're stomping.
Wobbly.
You're like, what in the world? But seriously. Okay. I had never felt anything like this, and I immediately knew. So the trainers went to get ice, and I was like, I don't need it.
You don't need ice.
I'm like, give me some crutches and get me to the hospital.
Man.
And mind you, I stayed the entire rest of the game while because it was the alumni game. Watched them after the game was over. They wanted to interview me. I did the interview. And I drove myself because it was my right foot.
Mm-hmm.
I drove myself to the hospital. I said, I'm a warrior, man. I'm a warrior, man. I'm a tough guy, man.
Something wrong with
you should know. You should know I'm a tough guy.
I know. You
got to call the King Law Firm.
Exactly right. Sponsors of our number one, mind you there. Now, it's just crazy, like, when you think of these injuries, and that's what I'm saying. It was scary. But, I call it tough luck and bad luck. Because I think a lot of times fans look at it and go, he's a pudding. I've seen some people call him praline or peanut brittle or whatever it was.
He's far from
and
that.
And I'm like, I don't know how you can blame a player for attacking the ball, trying to get the rebound. He's down the lane. He plants his right foot to jump. It just happens to be on the foot of somebody. I mean, that's just terrible luck. You know what I'm saying? To me, the term injury prone comes across to somebody like Eric Gordon.
Who, ironically enough, has been extremely healthy since he left
amazing.
New Orleans.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, he's not had one
what
injury.
What I'm talking about is you sneeze and you're out for 10 to 12 days with back spasms.
It's funny you mentioned that because they're saying the same thing about Kevin Love now because he took an elbow to the face.
He got concussed.
Right. Oh, you know, Kevin Love's kind of weak. You know, to the point now if you sneeze on him, he got hit in the head.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Got hit in the head.
What do you want Anthony Davis to do? Because the only way to avoid injuries like that is to look down before you look up to get the rebound, make sure you're clean, and then take a step.
Which is impossible because then you missed the rebound.
Rebound and got dunked on.
Correct.
I mean,
it's a freak accident.
Like I said, it is.
That's all it is.
And the time he missed a game earlier, so he got hit in the head with an elbow rebound.
But
what do you want him to do?
But yet, who is the first person to get back quicker than what they're supposed to?
The point
AD
was I enjoyed, not that I didn't think this fan base appreciates and loves their star, but it was kind of one of those moments when you know on maybe another level's kind of stand up, you know, or took place. When he's sitting there, he's writhing in pain a bit. It's starting to settle down and simmer. And the first thing he does, which is actually the best thing you do, you never take your shoe off.
Never.
Because then it's going to swell.
It really swells up.
Right.
Yeah.
But you see him relace the sneaker. And, dude, it was like the scene out of Rudy. What was it, the custodian or the field guy that takes care of the state? You know, I just like stood up and just,
started,
you know, I was like, man, that's, look at him. Because you saw when he laced it up, he was coming back in. And then the crowd starts to chant MVP. That was special,
man. That's the greatest feeling.
That was pretty cool.
As a player.
MVP.
No, it was
MVP.
Respect.
When you're recognized for your hard work, when you're recognized for what you do on the basketball court and how you value it. The fact that you didn't go in the back locker room, if you will, and stay back there. You know, you have to go back here and get taped real quick. No, just get out my way. Let me do what I do. I've got a game to win here. We're in playoff mode. You know, and you love that about AD. So to say he is a injury-prone basketball player or star for this basketball team, you're talking about a guy that would dive in the fans to save a ball because he understands possessions.
Yeah.
He understands of leaving it all on the court. There are many things you may question about AD? Does he provide that vocal leadership that you need? No. Is he the leader? Well, it depends on how you look at it. But when you want to talk about a man of character and how much he values this right. team and loves this city, that's why I used to get, it's funny, I would get more agitated, especially knowing him personally and having conversations with him. I would get more agitated than anybody else when the stories would pop up. Boston. Oh, AD's on the move. Stop it.
No, I know.
Stop it.
Well, first off, it's not a bad, it's business decision.
You know?
It wouldn't be a good business decision.
He is ingrained in the landscape of New Orleans. Yeah.
Now, again, it was a great scene yesterday. Tough loss. Let's see if they can go get the game at Cleveland. That's a very winnable game. And then Sunday, dude. Easter Sunday, 5 p.m. OKC. Kind of a big one. When we come back, we'll go around the NFL. There are a lot of top storylines to go into. The Saints have signed a player, brought back a player. We'll get into that. And some other big storylines in the NFL that we'll get into as well. It's the Sports Hangover. Hour 3 on ESPN New Orleans. At ESPN Radio, know there's a way to chime in and be involved on a show like the Bema. Pepito, he at least he participated, unlike you. We opened the show, you had a little Rage Against the Machine. I just simply asked, okay, you know what? I like that song. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bulls on Parade. It's like, hey, give me your top three great song. Rage songs after you said they were probably your favorite band to see live.
One of my top favorite live shows ever.
Well, give me your top three because I have a lot of good songs. And you just looked at me with this puzzled look and said, is that where we are? As if you thought that this is what topic three or hour three was going to be on. And we're just, and so the Bema fills in. He says, Killing in the Name, Bulls on Parade, Mic Check would be his top three.
Those are all good.
And then you started chuckling during the break because you're like, yeah, I thought we were just going to do that for the next hour.
I thought it was hilarious.
And I'm like, yeah, that's right. So we'll just do that three and then start taking something out of the threes and continue to go. So like what's, I don't know, Bulls on Parade, great. Give me your three favorite parades. And out of the parades, what's your favorite thing to eat out of the parades? And somebody said pizza. And then we said, great, give me your top three
pizza places to eat. Yeah.
And we just kept, and we made a, it was like the Kevin Bacon game. We had like 12 things within 30 seconds. We should do that.
Our three has become the threes.
There it is. We should do a segment on threes one day in hour three. Once a week.
Give me fire them off.
Fire them away.
Give me top three anything.
Top three on this.
And it just that trails into something else. Top three just dominoes. They just keep falling.
All right. Your top three favorite things are dominoes. No, stop it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, dominoes is a game. Give me your top three favorite games. I mean, this is what we could do. I didn't say anyone would listen for the segment, but I'm just saying we could tell
your top three favorite segments. They would have fun with
it. They would do that?
Absolutely. I would.
Really?
Yeah. That's like a minute ago.
Top three things you would do to have fun that probably no one else would think is fun.
Well, I got some.
Can't necessarily say them all.
This segment? Is that what this segment
I don't know if we're
going to
mention them. This segment or any segment.
That's what I'm saying.
The top three things you'd like to mention, but you can't.
Your top three favorite segments in this show. Right now.
Is the top threes. That's my top three favorite segments.
Top threes. I'm telling you, we're going to do top threes. Once a week, we'll do top threes.
We'll do it.
We'll do it. Maybe hump day. It's perfect. Midway point of your work week.
It's the third day of the work week.
There it is.
Third, see?
There you go. Another third.
Starting next Wednesday for some unknown
reason.
Your three
reason, favorite days of the week.
We will have the last segment of the show because by then people didn't turn us off.
It'll be the last show by then.
Exactly, yeah. So next Wednesday, we will have a top three.
Okay, your top three.
Don't know how it's going to go. You got to try new things.
Your top three things.
Your top three things. What are those things? I don't know.
Figure them out.
We'll figure it out.
It's what we do.
That's what we do.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious, man.
I think we could have some fun with it.
I think we could.
Mm-hmm.
You should let it snowball.
I'm telling you, we Kevin Baconed it in that break. We came up with 12 things immediately.
You had one. It was the your top three favorite songs with a keyboard in it.
Yes.
I believe was one.
Yeah, I don't know how the keyboard came in, but you were joking about me typing on a keyboard.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And
then I took
that and said, well, give me your top three songs that involve
a keyboard.
Heavy keyboard or
a synthesizer.
So I said, you know, Aha, Take On Me is one. Styx, Come Sail Away.
You got a Don't You Want Me by Human League.
Yeah, that's enough. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, we could definitely do that.
There's a million of those.
Yeah. And then that could probably turn into your top three 80 songs.
Are your top three moments with Gus Kattengale? Exactly. There's none.
It's in the top three with Gus. There are none.
I didn't find that funny.
That's where the game ends. You see, it snowballs and snowballs.
I didn't find that funny at all. Maybe that would be your role in the segment. You find the one top three thing that ends the segment.
That was it right there.
Fantastic.
You just killed it.
On that move, here we go. Here's your top stories in the NFL today. Tight end Ben Watson is back with the New Orleans Saints. All he did last year was outperform the entire Saints tight end group. I know some Saints fans are still going, why? Why did they bring him back? Why did they bring in another veteran tight end? Well, because he had more production than all the guys that they had last year. Combined, the Saints tight ends last year, 45 pass receptions, 476 yards, 4 touchdowns. Ben Watson alone, 61 catches, 522 yards, 4 touchdowns. He signs a one-year deal to come back with the Saints. So Saints fans that are not liking it and are tweeting left and right in a panic mode, stop it. Why would he sign a one-year deal? Exactly. The team's still going to look at a very deep tight end crop in the draft. They will likely get one. And what a perfect way to have somebody teach and show the new tight end. He's a great locker room guy. Team loved him while he was here. So I think it's a good signing. Good signing for 1 year. Odell Beckham Jr. and the Giants really starting to look like they're going to be parting ways. Giants letting it be known, essentially, a little leaking. Two first-round draft picks. Dino Hanson, that's all it will take. And on top of that, remember Odell Beckham Jr. came out and said this week, whether it's the Giants or whether it's another team, he's not playing without a new contract. And he wants to be the highest offensive player paid in the NFL. So that's over a quarterback. That's over a kicker, receiver.
Long snapper.
Long snapper.
Your top three favorite long snappers in Saints history. Go ahead, my. Gus. Come on, Justin Drescher.
Justin Drescher.
The guy before him.
Was it last year or 2 years ago where they had like 6 because they got all hurt? One guy had a heart condition.
You know me. I stay in my lane. I'm a basketball guy. Yeah, I take care of the pills for us.
Stay in your lane. Speaking of staying in your lane.
Which is your favorite lane to drive in? With three lanes. Your favorite lane?
Is it the left, the middle, or the right?
I will say this. Why is the left lane always slow? It makes no sense.
Some people need to go back to the DMV and understand the fast lane is the left.
Exactly. See, I'm telling you, this segment we can have on. It might be fun for us, is what it's going to be.
Oh, it's great for me right now. This is wonderful for me. This is my kind of sports.
Where was I? The Giants. There's a lot of rumor and people talking about the Rams making the play for this. I don't know. To me, Odell Beckham Jr. might be a little more worth the trouble than the two first round picks, and then you got to pay them top money. That's a lot. That is a lot. Le'Veon Bell, speaking of money, he wants $17 million a year. Antonio Brown already making that kind of money. So the Steelers, Dino, you know how this works, right? How teams always go where, really like Darius Geist, the running back out of LSU. Look at him. He's good. We talked to him already. You know what that is? That's the organization going, you want how much? Okay, go. By the way, there's one, maybe not like you, but pretty darn good. We'll draft. We'll keep him for 5 years. And Darius Geist, he's a first round pick. Here's the thing. Le'Veon Bell. You obviously know who that is. He's good.
Wait, just because I stay in my lane of basketball doesn't mean I don't know other sports.
I know. I didn't mean it like that. My point is,
stay in my lane with the part of the
show. Do you think that he's worth that? $17 million. He was already 12 last year, the highest paid. He's set to earn 14.5, being franchise tagged this year.
Let me tell you what that would kind of say to me as another player on the team. You're arguing over $2 million, which will prevent you from coming back to be a part of our team. Is $2 million really that significant that would prevent you from putting us in a position to win?
Let me kind of argue as his agent. Well, is $2 million that big for you? You're worth billions.
Ah, good point. That's a very good point. But you haven't gotten us to that next level yet to win a championship yet either.
All right, let me counter that.
Go ahead.
I've done everything I could. Your quarterback can't stay healthy, and your defense stinks.
Well, maybe if you weren't getting high before the season, you might be here when the season started.
Boom. That's kind
of, you weren't getting suspended.
That's one of those. I look at my phone and go, hold on, I got to take this. Hold on. Wow. Notice why, Jason, I am not an agent for NFL players on that right now.
Well, that goes.
Top three jobs that Gus Kattengell would not have.
There you go. Top three.
Agent. Pro wrestler. Yeah. Celebrity.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, I could be a salsa celebrity.
None of them. None of them.
Salsa? I'm
a salsa celebrity. I got asked to judge a crawfish contest.
Wait, you say so-so celebrity?
Salsa. You know, like not hot, not like big time, mild celebrity. I mean, salsa. I call myself a salsa celebrity.
You call yourself that. Nobody else calls you that. Or nobody else even uses that term.
That doesn't even, how do you,
that's my term.
Clearly, it's your term.
It can be picante. It can be a little hot. It can be chipotle. I mean, it can do all kinds of salsa. Everyone likes salsa. Who doesn't like salsa? Salsa celebrity.
When did you come up with this awful idea?
Years
ago. Is this written down? Wow. Is this documented?
No, it's all in his head. It's all in his head. He was thinking about it one night.
That might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say. Speaking
of, salsa celebrity.
What are the top three dumbest things Gus Kattengell has ever said on this show? Oh, my God. Good luck figuring that out.
Oh, my God. Peyton Manning has turned down Fox to be their lead analyst on Thursday Night Football.
Oh, man.
Apparently he already turned down ESPN. Are you surprised that Peyton Manning is not getting in the booth and doing that?
No, I'm not.
Think he's just enjoying his time off, maybe?
That's his thing. You know, I mean, he enjoys doing the Saturday Night Live. He enjoys doing his commercials with Nationwide. You know, I mean, those are fun. I mean, he's a very funny guy. And I don't see him being in the booth because he doesn't bring that type of personality, so to speak, if you will, to want to be in the booth.
I mean, they've offered him a lot of money. A lot of money.
But, you know, I respect him because he realizes that's not where he wants to be at. And the money, it's not like he's hard up for money.
No, I hear you. It's a little strange that that would be the case. ESPN considering Greg Olson, Kurt Warner, Matt Hasselbeck, Lewis Riddick, Randy Moss.
Now, you see, I thought Greg Olson was going back.
He did audition. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess if he gets the job, he'll call it quits for the Panthers. I don't know. How does that lot? I don't.
As well.
Warner's not bad. I've heard him. I think he's a color. Kurt Warner?
Yeah, Kurt Warner's good.
As a color for radio.
Yeah.
I
mean, I've seen him on television, of course, as well. I mean, he's got some background.
You know what? Honestly, I'll be honest, and because it's only because occasionally I'll watch the Monday Night Countdown show.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Moss might not actually be bad, to be honest with you.
See, it's funny you said that because I think Randy's bad.
Really?
I don't like his delivery. I just don't. I feel like his vocabulary, there's just not enough there.
Right.
I think he's one
Charles
of the greatest,
Woodson isn't that bad.
One
either.
Of the greatest receivers
when they both
ever.
Do, when,
no
they, when they both do a segment together where they go tailgating.
Correct.
It's kinda, now, but that's why I'm getting into that. I wonder if McDonough can pull that out of him. You know what I'm saying?
I think it would be an easier pull with Charles Woodson
than it
would
be. Here's the one thing. Tony Romo's made this a difficult hire because he is really good.
You know, and it's interesting that he's that good.
I would have not thought he was going to be good.
I would have never suspected that either.
Never. He made it a different level to where before you just have somebody come talk about the game and do that. But he brought it with such energy and passion, and then he pulled the curtain. Like, he does stuff that nobody else did. He's like, all right, here we go, 34. Look to the right. You see that guy coming in cheating? This is a screenplay. The screenplay's got it. This might be a touchdown. And the play happens in a touchdown, and you're like, that's fantastic.
Now, I'll tell you what's interesting.
Jim Nance doesn't have to do anything.
I'll tell you what's interesting is that a lot of times that backfires when
you're right.
When you're so good at what you do as a former player, you're able to convey that to people, and people can misconstrue that as you being.
I tell you where he also transcended. A lot of people didn't like him because he was a Cowboys head coach. I mean, quarterback.
Yeah.
But I think he became more likable. Does that make sense?
He is a better broadcaster than he is a quarterback.
Oh, you see? There you go. The dude was not a bad quarterback. Sports at York continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Nichols in college baseball last night. The nice win over Mississippi State. First time ever in 54 years. 10 meetings. They pick up that first win over the Bulldogs. We spoke with Coach Seth Thibodeau in hour number one. The Rougarou, Regis Progray. Do you like that? That was fun. Not every day you have a second champion in the studio.
Your top, I'm going to just disregard that you said that. Give me your top three boxing champions in the world. Come on, your top three. I think I actually have a top three on that one.
I mean, it's right, like current?
Oh, no, no, no,
like
no, all time.
I guess, I mean, it would have to be, to me, Ali, Tyson, probably Mayweather.
There you go.
I was going to say the first two and Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray is my third.
Sugar Ray is pretty good.
Yeah.
Sugar Ray, Ali, and Mike Tyson.
What would be your boxing name? Top three boxing names.
Tommy the Hitman Hearns.
That's a good one.
Oh, it's such a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Well, of course, Sugar. I mean, Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray, yeah.
Come on. Sugar Ray.
Smoking Joe.
Smoking Joe.
Smoking Joe.
Smoking Joe.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
Manos de Pierda. Hands of Stone. Manos de
Pierda. Oh,
okay. Yeah. I thought you were doing some salsa celebrity thing again.
See, there you go.
Goose, your top three salsas. Go ahead. You're the salsa king.
Dude, Green Verde is pretty good.
I like Green Verde.
Okay. You got to have a good smoky one. It would be solid. You ever had the smoky?
The darker colored smoky, yeah.
But there's nothing like just fresh, where it was just like you can just, the cilantro, little cilantro mix in there.
I like the fresh.
Be solid.
Salsa. I'm not a fan of the hot salsa. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. And you're probably going to get mad at me and slap me for saying this, but the paste picante salsa out of the jar.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No?
All right.
You got to have some fresh.
Yeah, fresh.
I said fresh first.
Yeah, but I mean, unless you're at a restaurant or something, like, are you going to make, like, to his point, let's say you guys come over to watch a game, like the Monday night, national championship.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have the time to chop up some, you know, tomato and some sauce and make it all.
Well, then I'm not going over.
You know what?
I'll tell you what I like, though, even aside from the salsa, when the chips come out and they're warm.
Hey, I'm Whole Foods has a mango spicy salsa that is tremendous.
So I'm not really.
Mango salsa. Have you had a mango salsa?
Oh, yeah, I'm a fan.
Oh, yeah.
I've never had
it. I'm a fan of the salsas.
Once you come over for the national championship game, I'll get you some mango salsa. It's solid.
I definitely will.
And once you get it, you'll
see, he's going to buy salsa. He's not going to make the salsa.
But Whole Foods made it. They made it, though. They made it fresh.
You lazy.
But you're the salsa celebrity. Why aren't you making it?
You lazy fool.
Good question. Tulane falling to Southeastern 9-3. They're at USF this week at 11-15 on the season. And LSU, Matt Moscone, after further review, coming up top of the hour, no doubt he's going to expand on a lot of his tweets last night, calming Tiger fans down. Because a lot of y'all already were ready to fire Paul Maneri. There's a picture circulating out there, and I might have helped that.
Oh.
Jacques Doucet from TV station up in Baton Rouge, WAFB. Took a picture of Paul Maneri. I don't know if you guys saw this. I'll pull it up on my phone so you can see it. It's pretty good. Then we'll get to some of your Twitter reactions, which I'm sure Pepito can't wait to get to.
Your reaction to that was great.
Here he is. Here he is, Jason. Describe Paul Maneri there on the bench. Not a fan left in the stands.
Yeah, Jacques Doucet tweeting, Coach Maneri is obviously never happy after a loss. Tonight was a new level of frustration. I'll post sound soon. Hashtag LSU. There he is, just sitting lonely in the dugout.
By himself.
By himself, I mean, head in his hand.
Not a soul in the stadium.
No.
Really?
Yeah. There he is, Dino. How would you describe that?
Just a man in his thoughts.
that's about
a man
right.
In his misery.
Yeah, it's about right. Here was the quote he gave after the game. A lot of times we got hits with two outs, where now it's going to take a couple more hits to score the runner. We got just 10 hits, scored one run. That's totally unacceptable. I take responsibility for it. I'm just not getting the best out of them. I know we're better than this. We're just not coming through in clutch situations. No doubt Matt will open up the show with.
I'm glad you said that. Speaking of clutch situations, the Bema, as always.
Here we go.
Coming clutch through on Twitter.
He is our director of what is it again?
Quality control.
Quality
maybe it was.
Control. That's it.
I feel like we give him a title every month. Anyway, Yeah, he has your top favorite Gus Kattengill moments.
See, I didn't ask this question. Apparently, you did.
Yeah, I did. You ready for him?
Yeah, sure.
Now, the first one we don't have documentation of, so I don't even know if this actually happened, but mm-hmm. I believe him. Apparently, you called Zach Streif John Streif.
No, John Stinchcomb. I was talking about John Stinchcomb, and I called him John.
Well, you've done that many times.
And then Zach's like, it's Zach.
You also did the same thing for Sean Payton and Willie Snead. Head coach Willie Snead. Yeah. Here's the other one. The Bema, number two, getting locked out of the booth during a Zephyrs game, now we know as the Baby Cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Weird. I think I have
shocking. You
proof
just,
of that.
Shocking. You just happen to have that right handy, ready to go. That is the intro music.
It's the rejoin. Yes, yeah, we're coming back
from
commercial.
Coming back from break. And Dino, this is normally where I would go, welcome back to Zephyr Field. Score so-and-so. Carrying the top of the... There's only one problem that I'm not doing it right now.
I could use this as background sound effects.
Dino, you do hear the crowd, right?
The ambient sounds of a ballpark.
Yeah, I hear the crowd.
That's because the inning has started.
There you go. Batter up.
There is no play-by-play or color guy because we're on the outside of a locked door. We got up to pee. He closed the door and locked us up. Because Touch 'Em All Timmy Grubbs didn't unlock the door for us.
No.
And, wait,
sorry,
hold on, here we go. Here comes a play. Oh. As you know, the game is going on.
Right, it's happening.
Mind you, you... No.
There's a hit. Right down
we
the right field baseline.
We don't know what just happened. We heard...
And he's rounding second.
Right.
Nothing.
We don't know what's going on.
And he's washing his hands in the bathroom.
So at this point, we're thinking of... No, he has some walk-up music, so it's a second batter, so it was an out. But we're now thinking of climbing out of the press box and then trying to climb into the control booth.
Yeah, which would have been hilarious in itself.
Right.
Now, if Tim Grubbs would have told us that the door was locked, I wouldn't have closed it.
You wouldn't have closed it. So here we are. We're just...
I'm literally having to fast forward through all this.
Still nothing. Here we go.
Cubs win!
That did not happen broadcast.
But I want you to listen to the professionalism coming up here.
It's a foul ball.
We're back and a base hit in the right field, Danny Black, after Skidmore flies out to second base. Again, apologize for the loss of signal there as Tim Grubbs booby-trapped us. We stepped out of the booth, and he locked the door behind us. So, there you go. We couldn't get back in the radio booth.
You Elgato Negro'd the booth.
I had no idea how that happened.
Yeah. By the way, that was the first time and only time Pepito was asked to be a color guy.
Oh, second time. Second time.
I do remember that. Yeah.
But as you can remember, but again, you like that? I said the loss of signal.
Loss of signal. What kind of a...
I don't know why I said that.
You know, just for that, here's the Bema's favorite one.
Yeah, the other one.
The turd is with us.
That was also
that was a great one.
What's the other one that he likes? The live action man.
Oh, how can I forget?
Again, you got the post game fireworks, the post game live action band.
Call that a concert, Gus.
I knew that the second I said it. And why do I feel that that is going to be a sounder?
That's coming Monday.
Oh, boy.
The broadcast school has really paid off.
Again, you got the post game fireworks, the post game live action band.
Call that a concert, Gus.
If anyone else listening to the show has any more favorite Gus Kattengill moments, send them over.
Here's the thing.
There's a good chance they're documented.
Here's the thing. I went Ron Burgundy there.
Don't give yourself that much credit.
No. Ron Burgundy's number one problem was he read the script, remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he'd read the prompter.
They bleep yourself whatever San Diego.
Whatever you put in the prompter,
he's going to read it.
So we have a sheet of paper in front of us that are, you know, the promotions and things to promote in coming games. So I was the copy read live action band. I didn't make that up. I was just
reading. It was in print.
Right. It was in print. So as a good broadcaster does, I read the copy. Should have proofed the copy.
You should have let me proof it. You should have let me proof a lot of things that night. You were all over
live action band, Dino.
That was just one of them.
Live action band.
I was looking at what I posted as far as being a boxer. Everybody thinks I should go ahead and...
No one thinks you should be a boxer.
I think you should.
You know what?
It's got the reach, the arm.
Dude, did you see my technique?
Yeah. The power.
Don't let the 0-6 fool you.
Hey, Goose, when we come back, your top three favorite live action bands.
Like, what are they called? What is it called?
It's a concert. Thankfully and mercifully, the show ends when we come back to this break. The Sports Hangover and ESPN New Orleans. Off the list by signing Ben Watson again. It's a one-year deal. I still think this team looks at a tight end in the draft. It does open up some options, as he says. I still think they look at a tight end. Maybe it doesn't force them to go with that first pick. I'm telling you, I would not be surprised. And I was looking at it last night. 12, 13, 14 would have to be where they would go, the Saints, if they wanted to move up and get Lamar Jackson. Way too many mock drafts right now, and now having Jackson go into Arizona. Jackson go into Cincy. I mean, and Arizona's 14. You'll find out. I mean, you'll know. You won't have to wait to 27 to know. They're not waiting to 27. Jackson's not going to be there again. That's if they go quarterback. If they don't go and they stay put, they're going to take at 27 the best tight end in the draft. I'm telling you. I would probably say tight end, defensive player, maybe even receiver would be the three at that point. But I would not be surprised if it's the Penn State tight end. I mean, Dallas Goedert or Goddard. What position?
What position in defense? I was going to tie that in.
No, you're giving
linebacker.
Me a look.
Remember a certain Saints linebacker a few years back? Didn't last long. Paris Harrelson.
Yeah.
Remember that time you, cause the reason it's mm-hmm. brought up, someone on Twitter mentioned it.
CJ3
said, mm-hmm. one of his top three Gus Kattengill moments was when, you mispronounced Paris Harrelson mm-hmm. as a, certain celebrity debutante. Use that word loosely.
Wow.
I just don't know if you're going to start Paris Hilton. Know what I mean? Don't see that happening. Junior Gallette, if it is a knee or if it is something else that's an issue.
By the way, Gus, I got to stop you for a second.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you just called him Paris Hilton.
Did I?
I'm pretty sure you just did.
I meant Paris Harrelson.
Shocking how you have all of these.
Oh, look, everything that's labeled under Gus. Look how many I have.
Not a single crowning achievement or a moment in my broadcast career.
Should I count them?
I mean, the show is now 8 years old. You know
Abracadabra like magic, it's gone.
That was a crowning moment. You called a home run.
I'm shocked. You didn't
tie
that in.
The best local New Orleans sports guy in town, Gus Kattengill.
I still can't believe those promos ran.
Hey everybody, it's Gus Kattengill.
I didn't know.
I just don't know if you're going to start Paris Hilton.
Any more favorites? You have any others? Any other top threes?
No, well, that's all the time we have for that. That's it.
No, we still got
no.
a few minutes.
No, we don't. 2 minutes.
Oh, we got 2 minutes. Good.
No, we don't.
God
We're
almighty,
done.
What do I have
no,
here?
That's it.
Oh, here we go.
Jim Grubbs was not in with the ones at left guard. It was another guy. I mean, Ben Grubbs.
Ben Grubbs, former Saints O-lineman, I believe.
Well, I mean, if you look at Ben's Grubbs and Tim Grubbs, they look the same.
Sure.
That broadcast school has really paid off.
Yep. Why are you here again? Why?
Oh, for this?
No.
I'm here to keep you honest,
for
Gus.
This?
Gus Kattengill.
Oh, just for you.
Big news 6 minutes ago. You ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready? 5,545 people have voted. Anthony Davis, official Twitter, at AntDavis23, just tweeted, should I shave my brow? Dino, should he shave the unibrow?
I would say no.
You're going no?
I'm going no.
I'm going no, too.
Stay with your moniker, dude.
This is who you are.
It's your moneymaker, bro. Keep it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
60% say nah, 40 yep. That's high, 40%. 6,000 votes now. It's going up by the thousands every time I click on it.
I think you should grow a unibrow.
You know what? I can't.
Since you're the salsa celebrity.
I don't know why you find that funny. I mean, it makes perfect sense. I'm a salsa celebrity. I'm not exactly like a hot celebrity or anything. I'm just a salsa celebrity. Mild. Mild celebrity.
Very mild. Extremely mild. Like the mildest.
Hey, go check out the Rougarou interview in the
borderline no taste.
Number one. It was fun. Seth Thibodeau also joined us as well. Matt Moscone, after further review, is up next on ESPN New Orleans. Adios.